He says the problem with teachers is, what's a kid going to learn from someone who decided that his best option in life was to become a teacher? I'm sorry. He reminds the other dinner guests that it's true what they say about teachers, those who can do and those who can't teach. I'm sorry. I decide to bite my tongue instead of his. And resist the urge to remind the other dinner guests that it's also true what they say about lawyers, because we're eating after all, and this is supposed to be polite conversation. I mean, you're a teacher, Taylor. Come on, be honest. What do you make? And I wish he hadn't done that. Asked me to be honest. Because you see, I've got this little policy in my classroom about honesty and butt kicking, which is, if you ask for it, then I have to let you have it. You want to know what I make? I make kids work harder than they ever thought they could. I can make a C+ feel like a Congressional Medal of Honor, and I can make an A- feel like a slap in the face. How dare you waste my time with anything less than your very best? I make kids sit through 40 minutes of study hall in absolute... No, you may not work in groups. No, you cannot ask me a question, so put your hand down. Why won't I let you go to the bathroom? Because you're bored and you don't really have to go to the bathroom, do you? I make parents tremble in fear when I call home at around dinner time. Hi, this is Mr. Molly. Hope I haven't called at a bad time. I just wanted to talk to you about something that your son said today in class. To the biggest bully in the grade, he said, "Hey, why don't you leave that kid alone? I still cry sometimes, don't you?" And that was the noblest act of courage that I have ever seen. I make parents see their children for who they are and who they can be. You want to know what I make? I make kids wonder. I make them question. I make them criticize. I make them apologize and mean it. I make them write, 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 and then I make them read. I make them spell. Definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful, definitely beautiful. Define nightly, B-A-U. Beautiful, until they will never misspell either one of those words again. I make them show all their work in math class and then hide it on their final drafts in English. I make them realize that if you've got this, then you follow this. And if somebody ever tries to judge you based on what you make, you give them this. Here, let me break it down for you so you know what I say is true. Teachers, teachers make a difference. Now, what about you?
Amen, brother. Amen. That's what teachers do. Hi, everyone. This is the Marvin Bird Show. I'm your host, Dr. Marvin Bird. And today, I'm going to get a little personal today. I hope you don't mind. But as we begin to embark upon another school year, I just feel compelled to devote a little bit of time on this podcast towards teachers. This one is for the teachers. Teachers. Those of you, you know who you are. Those of you who've dug in your pocket to buy a pair of shoes for a student. Those of you who have gone the extra mile to make sure that you give that student as many chances as possible to pass that one last test so they can pass the class and graduate. For those of you who have, again, gone into your pocket to take up a collection for a student whose family lost their home in a fire, this is for that teacher who had the keen eye, who saw, who observed that student with those cuts on their wrists, those fresh cuts on their wrists, and engaged that student and prevented that student from taking their lives. This is for you, the teacher. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a teacher as well. Eventually, I will move on to administration, but for now, I'm a teacher, and I take what I do very seriously. It's a very important responsibility to be a teacher. And as I observe and as I look around, I just wonder, when did we start questioning the virtuousness of teachers? Again, that question is, when did we start questioning the virtuousness of teachers? You know, I've said it before, a school district is a community of various groups of people working together to ensure student success. And if you'll count them, there are five groups of people in that community. There's students, parents, teachers, administrators, and stakeholders. Five groups of people. And the best illustration that I could give you is of a row team. You know, a row team that would compete in the Olympics. It's really fascinating if you watch this competition, because a row team, everyone in the boat is doing the same thing at the same time. It's a relationship. Those individuals, they've practiced together. They have an intimate relationship, and they're moving in the same direction at the same time. That is the picture of a highly performing school district. That's what a really good school district does. All those groups of people, they're working towards the same goal. They're doing the same thing. They're working in concert with one another. That's why it's just so difficult, and it really doesn't work, ladies and gentlemen, for a federal mandate to come in and fix, and even the state level too. It's so difficult to fix that, because you're talking about a relationship between people locally. That's how you turn a school district around. You improve those relationships. Unfortunately, the focus has been this, to where something got to change. Okay, the test scores don't look good, and so therefore something has to change. But what happens is the responsibility for change is placed upon the shoulders of the people who make money, because that's the only, or it seems to be the only button that can be pressed in order to make those scores better. But it's ridiculous if you think about my analogy of the row team. There's five people, five groups. So there's five people in the boat, five people in this row team. They're in the boat, and we're focusing on teachers and administrators changing. And a lot of it is because that's the only move that we can play, because they get paid. But ladies and gentlemen, that's only 40% of the equation. What about the other 60%? What about the other 60%? What about the other 3/5 of the equation? Now, again, I'm a teacher, and I'm not trying to indict anyone. I don't like that we are now doing that. This is just an unintended consequence of No Child Left Behind and this quest for data. We have created this issue. If a school is going to turn around, everyone has got to play a part. If a community desires better for its students, then everyone has to play a part. Everyone has to play a part. And ladies and gentlemen, that leads me to this. And I plead with you to think about this. And I ask that you please stop tweeting or retweeting things that question the virtuousness of teachers. And I'm gonna tell you why. But again, I think that when we tweet or retweet these things, it can do damage. Ever since No Child Left Behind, it appears that there has been this theme of trying to find blame, trying to find who's responsible for this, and making them pay. It doesn't appear that we ask this question enough. How can we better serve teachers so that they can, in turn, serve students, so that we can get the results that we seek? That's really what the question should be, because again, we're talking about a relationship. And again, it's a local relationship. Local. It's the local community. They have got to make changes. Everyone in the boat has got to make changes so that they're working in concert with one another, period. That's it. And yes, it can be difficult. Absolutely. Any of you who are married out there, you understand how challenging it can be to maintain that healthy relationship. But it can be done. It can be done. And so I'm on a crusade to ask people to please consider the things that they're tweeting or retweeting. That question, that just blanket, that just outright questions the virtuousness of all teachers. And this is why. It's because it does more harm than good. And you know what else happens? The public can see this. And then they start to project on their local school district. And then ultimately, it's quite possible that some people start to deduce that we don't know what we're doing. And that's not true. A majority of our teachers who are laboring year after year are hard-working people who only desire to serve and help. They don't deserve to have their virtuousness questioned in such a manner. They don't deserve it. I have an article here from the Washington Post. The date is March 16th, 2012. The title, or the author is Valerie Strauss, and the title is Survey: Teachers Work 53 Hours Per Week on Average. A news report from Scholastic and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation called Primary Sources, America's Teachers on the Teaching Profession, finally quantifies just how hard teachers work. 10 hours and 40 minutes a day on average. That's 53 hours a week. These numbers are indicative of teachers' dedication to the profession and their willingness to go above and beyond to meet the students' needs. It never was and certainly isn't now a bell-to-bell job. The 7.5 hours in the classroom are just the starting point. On average, teachers are at school an additional 90 minutes beyond the school day for mentoring, providing after-school help for students, attending staff meeting, and collaborating with peers. And here's the other thing about this, ladies and gentlemen. Think about all the extracurricular activities. Think about the clubs, games, and all these kinds of things. None of these things happen without the generosity and the giving of the time of teachers. Teachers make these things happen. If all teachers decided that they were just going to go home, imagine all the things that our students, our kids, would be missing out on. Reading on, it says teachers then spend another 95 minutes at home grading, preparing classroom activities, and doing other jobs related tasks. The workday is even longer for teachers who advise extracurricular clubs and coach sports, 11 hours and 20 minutes on average. As one Kentucky teacher survey put it, our work is never done. We take grading home, stay late, answer phone calls constantly, and lay awake thinking about how to change things to meet student needs. Again, I'm submitting to you that we need to consider the things that we're tweeting and retweeting that question the virtuousness of all teachers. And I submit this to you as well. No one would say these things to a teacher's face. There's not an administrator out there that would say some of the things that I'm going to share with you that would repeat these things to the face of their teachers who work under them. No one would do that. So what's the point of doing it on Twitter? Again, I believe that does more harm than good. The public can see that. And we just don't want to give them the impression that there is no hope. There is hope. As long as we have another day, another year is upon us, there is hope. With the right amount of people putting in the right amount of energy in the proper direction, there is hope. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to be provocative here. So I'm not going to be giving out the Twitter handles. I'm just going to read to you some of the content that I saw on Twitter to back up what I'm saying. So here's one, and this one was shortly after the Rethink Discipline Summit in D.C. This person says, adults are in charge of school climate. Stop blaming the kids. Adults are in charge of school climate. Stop blaming the kids. There are no teachers, not that I found, spewing these things. There are no teachers on Twitter who are outright blaming the kids. And so I'm not exactly sure. I'm not exactly sure who this comment is directed towards, because you're not going to see many teachers taking to Twitter to trash their students. I'm guessing if they do that, they're trying to get fired because they're done. Teaching is not for them. But teachers don't do that. Teachers don't do that. And before I move on, I want to speak about this just a little bit. This statement is false. The statement is false. Yes, adults set the mission vision of the school, but there are more students than teachers. There are more students than teachers in a school building. It is the students and their behavior that is an integral part of the school climate. Again, going back to what I said before, there's five people in the boat. Everybody has to play a part. Whether you're talking about an elementary school, middle school, or a high school, everybody plays a part. So here's another quote that was tweeted, and this just really, really bothers me. I respect Sir Ken Robinson, but his quote was retweeted. It says here, if you sit kids down hour after hour doing low grade clerical work, don't be surprised if they start to fidget. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2015, who's doing that day after day? I find it very difficult to believe that in 2015, there are many teachers doing quote unquote clerical work day after day. And if they are, then whose fault is that? It's not the teacher's fault. That's administration's fault. Administrators have the tools that they need to develop. That's the number one thing. They should be seeking to develop their teachers so that they're not leaning on quote-unquote clerical work day after day. And I just find that disrespectful to teachers, because we know better than that. There's been so many things that have happened over the past 15 years. And these things, they sound nice, they tweet well, but again, they are destructive. They're very destructive, because what they do is they set up a straw man to knock down. And what this does is it falsely projects these things on all teachers. And that's not right. That's not right. Instead, we should be building a community of learners on Twitter so that we can have healthy conversations about how to better serve students. And I want to send a shout out to @GenTealTeach, @GenTealTeach. She was very amazing. We had a discussion about standards-based grading. Those of you who've listened to me, you know that I've got some issues with standards-based grading for all students. I think it can work in some occasions, but I think you have to have have the right infrastructure in order for it to be successful. But we had a wonderful, healthy conversation about that, and I want to send a shout out to her, and I want to thank her for that exchange. Okay, so let me get into some more. Here's another one. We've heard these things. Parents don't keep good kids at home. Teachers have got to stop blaming students for bad instruction. Could you imagine what would happen if your head principal came to you, your first day back, came to you and said something to the effect that you have got to stop blaming students for your bad instruction? No. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the world can see these. The world can see these things. Our job as educators is to brightly shine the light of hope, to direct students to the future. We cannot have this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I'm going to read it again. Parents don't keep good kids at home. Teachers have got to stop blaming students for bad instruction. That is so disrespectful. So the supposition is bad test scores equal poor instruction. There's no other possible reason. Unbelievable. And this is another example of the straw man argument. And this does not help. This does not help our cause to talk like this, to treat teachers like this. The public can see this. You know who else can see this? Prospective teachers can see this as well. And did you know that we're dealing with a bit of a teacher shortage in some areas in this country? It's true. From the USA Today, this is dated July 21st, 2015. Jamie Cochran is the author. It reads, Arizona officials say that there are at least 1,000 vacant teacher positions to fill with just weeks left until the school year starts around the state. It's not the first time school districts have found themselves scrambling to hire teachers in Arizona, where officials say low salaries, lack of support, and high turnover rates combine to make summers a stressful time for administrators. We've been working very hard since the spring to fill all our positions, said Bowles School District Superintendent Jeffrey Smith. He said this week that the district has about 4, maybe 5 teacher openings and no guarantees they will be filled by the July 27th start of school. My goodness, July 27th. At Cave Creek Unified School District, Superintendent Debbie Burdick said it's bad. Burdick said she is trying to fill 6 teaching slots and the district's governing board even approved a $4,000 signing bonus. Wow. Don't get me started on that. Wow, I wonder what the union thinks about that. Approved a $4,000 signing bonus for qualified special education or middle school math teachers, but she's still looking. We're concerned, and for many of the positions we have open, we do not even have 1 applicant, Burdick said. They are not the only school in that situation, nor is this the only year it's happened. The Arizona Department of Education created an educator retention and recruitment task force in response to rising concerns regarding the shortage of effective teachers and high turnover rates of educators in Arizona schools. Ladies and gentlemen, prospective teachers can see these things as well. As noble as this profession is, do you think that they want to have their efforts questioned, their virtuousness questioned, their credibility trashed on Twitter? Absolutely not. They don't deserve that. Teachers are professionals as well. Teachers are professionals as well. And they do not deserve to be demeaned or looked down upon by comments that are by comments similar to this. Well, you taught it, but did they learn it? Ooh, you just blew my mind. You see, in order to make this comment, you have to believe that teachers are standing in front of students and just going on and on and on and on, like Ben Stein in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You have to believe that the teacher, in order to make this comment, you have to believe the teachers have no sense of what's going on in the class. In 2015, that's not true. That's just not true. So here's another one that's similar. It reads, lesson structure is mostly to blame. Based around a leader and students must do as they are told, even though they don't like it. Where are these things coming from? I don't even know how to take that. And that individual was not a teacher. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the public can see our exchanges on Twitter. We need to show them hope. Additionally, the concept of the mindset, the growth mindset, that wasn't created to cut off a discussion of ideas. Just because someone disagrees, that doesn't mean that they need to shift their mindset. That doesn't mean that they don't have a growth mindset. There are numerous ways for us to reach our goal. I truly believe that if we listen more to the teachers who are in the classroom with the students who have a better a better, more intimate understanding of the students, then we'd be in a better position to make changes quickly as needed. And I was thinking of this as an example for this. Objectives, or whatever you call them, learning goals, learning targets, learning whatever. Objectives. You know what I'm talking about. Objectives. And I'm going to blog about this within the coming week. Think about this. Any of you ever seen the Blair Witch Project? The Blair Witch Project came out, I think, 99, I think. But if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert. But anyways, for those of you who have seen it, imagine as the movie is starting, the director appeared on the screen and said, the objective of what you're about to see is to make you scared of a monster that you never see. That would take away some of the intensity of the movie, wouldn't it? It would take away a lot from the movie, wouldn't it? That would take away something from the experience of viewing the movie if you knew that going in. And here's my thought. We definitely need to rethink writing the objective on the board. Now, definitely there are some students, some classes that they need to have that objective, and they should. But I think that we need to take a look at that. And I know the objective is a guide for some students, but I believe that without an objective, it would challenge the students to focus. But perhaps a student will leave the classroom with something that is a little bit more comprehensive because they had to find it themselves, as opposed to having an objective and just constantly looking for that throughout the class. And again, there are numerous ways to reach the goal. Adherence to one teaching strategy is not instructional leadership. Education is not one size fits all. Strict adherence to one instructional strategy does not make a leader. It makes a follower who should be leading. And I see it as well. There's teacher questioning the virtuousness of all teachers as well. And let's take standards-based grading, for example. Okay, certainly, you like it, that's good, but that's not the only way. It is possible for students to succeed using the regular 0 to 100 grading scale. That's possible. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Just please be considerate of some of the things that you're posting on Twitter. People can see that. And they need to see hope. They need to see that there is hope in our public schools. They need to see professionals who are willing to do whatever it takes to make sure students are successful. They need to see people collaborating in a professional manner. So please think about that. And as I leave you, I want you to listen to this.
Okay, class, this snowman is made out of three geometric shapes. Now, if I take one of them off, then we have a... What's wrong, Morgan?
That snowman is dead now.
Oh, no, it's okay. Look, see?
Teachers are definitely underappreciated.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth them.
Teachers have to answer millions of questions.
How big is outer space?
Where did my sister come from?
Is the sun following me?
Teachers have to deal with every type of emergency.
No one is going to know that you had an accident. Okay, I'll just wrap this around there.
Teachers have to know everything about everything.
Give it a second. So in a way, this is a very realistic portrayal of a volcano, because And everybody thought it was going to explode, but it didn't explode.
I'm the math giraffe, then I'm here to say.
We're going
to
use our mind cameras now and imagine people running down the hill because they were warned, but they're like, nah, this thing isn't going to blow, you guys. We're going to stick around town and see what goes down.
Long division, what? Long division, not wrong division.
Teachers have to be like a courtroom judge. They must be honest and fair.
I'm going to read you the answer you put on your math test. I forgot to study last night, so here's a drawing of a donkey wearing roller skates. That's a good drawing, but you got to study.
Teachers have to be really, really nice all the time. It's harder than it looks.
Hi, Miss Rocha. I made you some cookies.
Wow, for me? Thank you.
They made of chocolate chips.
That's my favorite.
And hot dogs.
Even when they're not at work, they're still working.
Lindsay, what are you still doing here?
I'm just waiting for my mom.
Oh, well, we'll wait with you.
Teachers have to be good role models. They must challenge and inspire their students.
Oh, Stuart, your shoe's untied. Let me help.
I don't need any help.
Because he taught me, Miss Rocha.
In conclusion, teachers have the hardest job in the world. What amazing things did your teacher do for you?
Tree's here, yes.
Mr. Jeffries!
I'm a tree.